Good morning. For the readings this morning, they'll be from the Blue Bible that is in front of you if you'd like to follow along. There will be two readings. The first from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, and in the New Testament, the book of Mark chapter 13. Exodus 5, Bricks Without Straw. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Mark 13. Mark 13, chapter 13. The destruction of the temple and signs of the end times. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign that they are, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled. Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Hello, we're the Pattons, John, Wendy, Julia, and Jessica. Starting in 1993, Wendy served as a single missionary in Japan, while John ministered in Spain. God brought us together in 2010, and Wendy joined me in Madrid, Spain. Our two daughters were born there. Then in 2019, God moved us to Iquitos, Peru, where I had grown up as a missionary kid. Peru was ruled by the Inca Indians for hundreds of years. Then came the Spanish conquistadors who brought Roman Catholicism. In 1821, Simon Bolivar helped Peru gain independence from Spain, and recently Peru celebrated its 200th anniversary.
The country is divided into three geographical areas: the coastal plain on the Pacific, including Lima, the capital, the Andes Mountains, famous for llamas, and the Amazon rainforest, which includes the city of Iquitos, where we serve. Iquitos, a city of over 500,000 people, is surrounded by the Amazon and Nanay rivers and rainforest. Our girls have enjoyed close encounters with some jungle animals.
When we arrived in Iquitos in April 2019, Pastor Hugo de Agua asked us to help at the Peñal Church in Punchana, a poor section of the city. I did preaching and teaching, and Wendy taught the kids Sunday school for a year. Then due to COVID-19, all churches were closed. Iquitos was hit hard with a high mortality rate. We were evacuated to the States for a year and then returned to Peru in April 2021. Pastor Hugo had left the church and no services had been held for 14 months. The church people wanted to begin services again and elected Edgar to be the temporary leader. I mentored Edgar, counseled, discipled, and encourage church members and work to reestablish unity among the church family. The church began to grow and move forward again.
In June 2022, six Peruvian church people and I attended a teacher training seminar led by the organization Samaritan's Purse. We received 100 free boxes of Christmas presents from American donors and organized a children's outreach activity, which 90 kids and 15 parents attended. Other teachers led games and songs, and I shared a gospel lesson. Samaritan's Purse gave us a 12-week evangelistic discipleship children's program. We divided into three classes with six Peruvian ladies helping or teaching each week. Our average of 10 children in Sunday school jumped to about 45 kids each week. The graduation program was attended by 60-plus kids and many parents.
Due to various factors, Edgar decided to step down as leader at the end of his term. He's still active in two other churches preaching and leading music. When we saw some problems in the different direction the new church leaders of Peniel were heading, we also decided to move to a new church and ministry. Peniel has called a new pastor, Edson Sumaeta, and continues to meet. I preach regularly at various churches, including Calvario, Divino Redentor, and Ebenezer. Once a month, I travel an hour and a half outside the city to Cahuide to preach and encourage Pastor Jorlin. I also teach classes at the Bible Institute, which is 75 years old, and have taught at the Roots of Faith week-long seminar in Lima. Last February, Pastor Jerry Teagua and his wife, Melissa, attended with me. Melissa said she never knew that the Old Testament stories are all part of one big story of redemption. She's now using the materials to teach ladies in her church.
We also open our home for groups to meet. The senoritas from Permanecer Church come regularly for activities and Bible studies. I taught a devotional on friendship in February, colored eggs and had an Easter egg hunt in April, and made cookies with the young ladies in October. Almendra brought three unsafe school friends recently, too. In April, Carol and I started Princess Club for 8 to 12-year-old girls using Carol's program. We met once a month with four Peruvian teachers who did crafts, Bible verses, Bible stories, songs, and etiquette class. Every club, we had a color theme from the Wordless book: black, red, white, gold, and green. We wore clothes, made a snack, and did crafts in that color. The girls all heard the gospel many times, and one Saturday, Jade trusted Christ as her Savior. They all learned how to share the gospel with their friends, too. 14 moms attended the closing program on October 7th. The girls gave self-introductions, sang, and said verses. The moms and daughters made pledges to each other, gave gifts, and enjoyed a luncheon.
Wendy and I participate in the Association of Pastors and Pastors' Wives in Iquitos. I counsel and encourage pastors and others and disciple Pedro Panayfo. Wendy is involved with ladies' events and the Pastors' Wives group. We are also part of a missionary team of Peruvian American couples and a few single ladies. We fellowship, pray, and plan events together. In August, at Manuelita's church, I taught a marriage seminar. Others went door-to-door witnessing. About 50 children attended an afternoon VBS program. A Heart Ready for the Harvest was the theme of the annual missions conference in Iquitos in October. Almost 300 people came on Sunday night, and many went forward to make decisions.
Ricardo and Teresa are neighbors that we are getting to know. They are university professors with two adult children and one granddaughter. They are good religious Catholics, but lack a personal relationship with Jesus. Teresa attended a ladies' evangelistic outreach event at Oreb with me in September.
When we returned to Iquitos in April 2024, we planned to help in a new church plant in the area of Las Pampas on the outskirts of the city. Pastor Roger de Agua on the right and his wife Elba own a piece of property there and have a burden to start a church. Roger's brother Richard on the left lives next door and knows the neighborhood people well. Two other couples, Roger and Tatiana and Jonathan and Sarisa, are also helping. They plan to put up a simple building and would like to purchase the adjacent lot for sports activities to draw in children and their parents. Sunday, October 22nd, was a children's soccer tournament with 50 players. The kids and their parents were invited back for service and award ceremony that evening. About 40 attended the first service on the land where the new church will be. Pastor Rohit and team are meeting for Sunday evening services. When we return to Peru, we plan to help in the new church plant and continue our other ministries.
Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Surely Jesus is coming soon. So let's continue the good work of reaching others for Christ here in the States, in Peru, and around the world. Thank you for partnering with us.
Topical messages are not my forte. In the 7.5 years that I have been behind this pulpit, I have only engaged them on Thanksgiving, occasionally on Mother's and Father's Day, if it works out that way. And the majority of the reason behind that is my personal philosophy of a preacher, of a pastor, is that my job is to tell God's story. Not the story of the world, not my personal story, because honestly, they're not that interesting. And also because there's very little of eternal value in them. But there's a Chinese proverb that says, may you live in interesting times. Well, this is interesting times for me. It's been unusual this past week or so. The eye surgery, you notice that I have glasses on. I'm doing my best right now. I know Norman knows exactly how I feel because I have one lens in and one lens out. There's nothing here. They took that out. And it's like looking at binoculars where they're not in focus. And so I'm really dizzy at this moment. That's why I have not had my glasses on up to this point. I had thought I could soldier on, scheduling it on a Monday. I had thought, yeah, I can gut it out and get it. Well, with all the books that I'm looking at and the commentaries for Revelation, by midweek, I had to throw up the white flag and say, help. So I called out to the elders and the deacons and said, what can we do here? And someone suggested, hey, with the patents, we had a snow day, and they sent a video, which we just watched. It gave us an overview. John was going to do it that day, and it does not look like they're going to be able to reschedule back in, so we got a chance to see that. This fall, we had something called a chapel time, and Tara did Bible readings, and then Sue helped her out, and I think Randy V did as well, came in and read. And it was 35 to 45 minutes of just different passages of Scripture, of just being bathed in the Word of God. And I thought, how good that is. And so you got a chance to see that. So when we reinstate this again, you'll want to come on out on whatever day that is and be part of that as well. But I had a thought of what I wanted to share briefly this morning, very briefly this morning. And Friday night, the Spirit says, no, I want you to do something completely different, which is not outside of the realm of what the Spirit does. And so I want to share just briefly a passage from Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds, in Christ Jesus. I just want to take a minute to tease those apart a little bit. Paul starts out by saying, rejoice, to possess a spirit of joyfulness, which is very different from happiness. And I've elaborated on this before. Happiness is based upon your external circumstances, and it can change like the weather. Things can be going really well, and all of a sudden, just that quick, and all of a sudden, your world turns dark. Or it could start out having a bad day, and all of a sudden, things turn around. It's fickle. It changes. But joy comes from your relationship with the Lord, because the Lord does not change. And so when Paul says rejoice, he says it twice. I say it again, rejoice. If you didn't get it the first time, no matter what is happening in your life, have joy, to rejoice, to share that with one another. And it's not easy to rejoice when there are problems. It's easy to get into that mode of happiness. Lord, always, always. Not when it's convenient, not when it's going well, but rejoice always. The Greek term epikeis translates here to gentleness. It means to be suitable, to be reasonable, to be fair, to be mild, to be patient. Commentator used the word forbearance, to forbear. It's a quality of patient endurance or self-control. You hear Paul say that in other passages, to have self-control when life is difficult. Not to lash out, not to grumble, not to complain. To have gentleness, to forbearance. Why? Because he said the Lord is near. And some people might get here the picture of that poem that's gotten kind of famous in modern Christian culture, Footprints. And it says, you know, the Lord is walking side by side, and then the person finds that in their trouble there was only one set of prints. And they said, Lord, where were you? I was all alone. He said, no, it wasn't. I was carrying you. And we think of that as the nearness, but that is not the tense. That is not the case here. This nearness that we're talking about has a prophetic view involved in it, very much like Mark 13 that Tara read. We've seen it in Daniel and Revelation. Mark summarized it in chapter 1, the message of Jesus. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. When Paul says Jesus is near, he says his coming is near. We think it's been 2,000 years. How can it be near? But God is timeless, and it could be today. We are to live in the tension of Christ coming again. The passage that Tara finished up with talked about Jesus saying, this master of the vineyard left. And he said when he returns, it could be at midnight. It could be when the cock crows. It could be first thing in the morning. And we must be ready. The Lord is near. And you say, Paul, this is not so easy. That's why the gist of his teaching point is do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. Paul, you didn't have trouble with your eye. Oh, yes, he did. He did. They think maybe his thorn in the flesh was his vision. Those of you who have had eye surgery and eye issues, and you go, you realize any part of you that starts to break down, you miss a lot. And you go, God, how can this be? Paul, you don't understand. And then you read 2 Corinthians, and he goes through of all of the things that he went in his life serving as a servant of God. His life was rough. We haven't gone through a fraction of that. And again, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That was the passage that I was going to look at. The Lord said, no, I want you to do this one. So what was Paul's remedy for all this? Because Paul knew what he was talking about. The church in Philippi and Philippians had issues for this discord. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests God. Now, some people want to make that a formula. They go, there's four parts to that, so you got to pray in these four parts. And it's, no, it's not. It means that some days when you're praying, if you're reaching out to the Lord, it might be just a single aspect of this. But thanksgiving should be part of it, because no matter what's going wrong in your life, you have something to be thankful for. Are you drawing breath? Did you have heat this morning? You know, 2 weeks ago when we woke up, the power was out at the parsonage and it was getting colder by the hour. Then you start to realize how much you come to take these things for granted. When the heat came on, I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hear the furnace running. You go, it's going to get warm again." God has done a lot for us. We all have issues and circumstances in life. Paul says, rejoice in that. Two times in the book of Revelation, we have seen that God looks at prayers as incense. It goes up into the nose of Him who sits on the throne in heaven. Our prayers are important. They should be important to us as well. Our Creator, who loves us, who cares for us, who hears us. And what is the result of all this? And the peace of God. Rejoice, pray, peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What do you imagine is the greatest thing that could be? That the Lions could win the Super Bowl? I've heard people say, that won't happen until hell freezes over. Okay, it's actually possible this year. Is that beyond your transcending of your imagination? That you could be healed of something? That a situation that you're involved in could be fixed? It says the peace of God which transcends it will guard your heart and your mind. Those are your weak areas, your heart and your mind, your emotions and your thought life. Those are the places that things affect you. The peace of God will come in and cover you when you're anxious, to protect you from self-destructive thoughts, because they lurk there. Even believers have them. Behaviors, the darkness, anxiety, depression. When I was teaching early on in my career, nobody talked about anxiety. All of a sudden, teenagers are dealing with anxiety. What are you anxious for? Take it to God in prayer. Give it up to Him. Because we don't know when trouble comes if He is training us to be better servants. If He is using us is an example to other believers, or if He is going to use that situation to work on an unbeliever's heart to lead them to Christ. Everything according to God's will has a purpose. The kingdom of God is at hand. I found this quote up here yesterday. Sometimes the strength within you is not a big, fiery flame for all to see. It's just a tiny spark that whispers ever so softly, "You got this. Keep going." Don't let the evil one win the battle of your heart and your mind. Come back to this. I have. The future is not certain for us. Not here. But the future is certain there. And that still small voice of the spark is the Holy Spirit who resides in us. You know what He's telling us? Talk to God. Take it to God. Get the peace that transcends all understanding. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for encouragement when we're down. Thank You for promises. Thank You for listening, that You are never closed. You do not have off hours. If we wake up in the middle of the night, You're there. You're willing to hear. You're willing to listen. You calm our hearts and our minds.
No matter where we are, no matter what the situation is, Lord, you love us and you care for us, and we thank you for that. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.